This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Now, Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome and happy Monday. And it's time to check in with our Zoomer vote in the Zoomer primary. And since we last talked, the writ was officially dropped. The first debate took place without Liberal leader Justin Trudeau, and the candidates are off and running. Our numbers show the Liberals ahead of the Conservatives, but not necessarily comfortably ahead. And those numbers are different from what other polls are showing. So, joining me to drill down on what it all means, Peter Mugridge, senior editor of Zoomer Magazine, and David Kravitz, a vice president here at Zoomer Media and our guru on all things demographic. Welcome, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us, Liv.
So let's go over the raw numbers. And the Zoomer vote has the Liberals ahead by 5%, 40% versus the Conservatives, 35%. And the others well back. The Green Party has 8%, the NDP 4%, and the People's Party 3%. 11% undecided. And those numbers are actually quite a bit different from what other polls are showing.
They are. They're first of all, they're very stable from week to week. We haven't seen any big landslides in either direction yet. But the national polls, the averages of all the polls, are essentially a tie between the Conservatives and Liberals, around 34%. And the NDP slightly ahead of the Greens, which is not reflected in our numbers.
Well, we saw the first debate last week, which Justin Trudeau decided not to participate in. And the consensus seemed to be, whether you agree with him or not, Jagmeet Singh looked good in the debate. He, of course, had a very low bar to start from, where he really had made almost no impression since he's become the NDP leader. And he came out strong and he looked smart. And, you know, that certainly does not show in the Zoomer vote.
No, but I think we're going to see NDP start climbing now and Green start dipping, because the Green Elizabeth May's economic plan seemed very unrealistic. Universal income for everyone, free tuition, expanded health care, drug plan, and on top of that, getting rid of the fossil fuels sector, all the jobs and the revenue that come with it, and balance the budget in 5 years, it's just not going to happen. And I think we've given Greens a pass so far, and we're going to see them slip and NDP climb.
Do you still see Elizabeth May as a one-issue candidate?
I think that Peter's right in that she's certainly going to be scrutinized more heavily on the points that Peter raised.
She just here in town releasing her platform this
She's
morning.
She's certainly going to be. But I'm looking at the debate in another way. We have a specific poll about the debate on Everything Zoomer. It's not part of our main Zoomer primary poll. But it asked people who won the debate, and it even let you vote for Justin Trudeau, and it said in brackets, Justin Trudeau won by not being there. And 47% Scheer, 31% Trudeau, 11.9% May, 12%, and only 9.5% for Singh. So I'm beginning to wonder, a month away.
Is he just
away.
Too late to the game, do you think?
Well, I'm also wondering, is there a divergence, it's a question, between the way the Zoomers are looking at this? The Liberals are slightly stronger than they are in the national consolidated polls. And the Greens persist in outperforming the NDP, which is definitely not happening. Both parties are far behind. So I'm wondering whether our audience has a unique filter on this that is not shared by the other age groups, because you're seeing these numbers week after week, and we're slightly out of alignment, slightly, with the the national
well,
picture.
Well, it's very possible. I mean, you would think that different demographics have different agendas. And as we bring it up, and in the next segment of this show, CARP is launching a campaign to make caregiving an issue and to change the caregiver's credit to a refundable credit. And we haven't heard anything about it. And just this morning, Justin Trudeau was announcing money for early learning for small children and another 250,000 spaces for before and after school programs, but nothing for an older demographic that are caregivers and save our health care system a huge amount of money, $25 billion.
Billions.
So, well, and my question, and even just, you know, in personal dealings with the Scheer campaign, I almost get the sense that, you know, older people are naturally conservative, if you will, that this demo is perhaps being taken for granted so far, and everybody's going after millennials. Am I wrong in that, David?
I think you're completely correct in that. And we showed in our analysis of the Harper-Trudeau election that even a slight loss of support among the older voters translates into more votes lost for the conservatives. They can afford to take a bit of a beating, actually, among the younger voters, because remember, everybody listening, our group, the Zoomer group, is 6 out of every 10 ballots cast. So while everybody's falling all over themselves for the millennial vote, I'm speaking statistically, not morally, but while everybody's falling all over themselves for the millennial vote, the election will be decided by the Zoomers.
Still. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I kind of get they are the biggest voting bloc, and people are looking for ways to engage them and to give them things, goodies that they may want to vote for, whether it's childcare. And I'm certainly not saying that it's very difficult to afford childcare. And hey, I understand that the parties want to help the conservatives, say, young families. And, you know, the conservatives might be a little comfortable because a lot of millennials might vote green on the issue of the environment. And that is ultimately good for conservatives because it's splitting the so-called left vote, though we're not sure what Elizabeth May is exactly.
One more important point to note, though, and there's evidence on this, Libby, is that as you age, you may be slightly more small C conservative on economic bread and butter issues. You certainly don't have the same stars in your eyes as you did when you were a college student. But there's no evidence that your underlying ideology changes. A huge number of baby boomers come out of, you know, hippies, Vietnam War, the whole that whole movement, they don't suddenly become Eisenhower Republicans just because they are in their 60s or 70s now. So the conservatives would make a big mistake in treating that group as somehow ideologically in the bag, because they're not.
They're not. And they're not entirely focused on goodies for the demographic.
Right. No.
And, you know, I find that with the party leaders, when they only kind of want to talk to us directly when they have something that's really targeted at the elderly or something. And, you know, it makes me think, you know, you people, you aren't getting it.
No, you're not getting
exactly,
it.
Exactly, yeah.
I want to give the numbers out again because I'd like to hear from people and I'd like your take on this. So first of all, have you seen anything yet that might make you change your mind? And what is your mind? And also, you know, what do you think of the kind of promises that are being made right now? Is it appealing to your sons and daughters, maybe your grandkids? What do you think of what is on offer here? And what do you think is at stake here? I'd like to hear from you, our listeners, especially if you've participated in the Zoomer vote. 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And I am here with our Zoomer vote in the Zoomer primary with Peter Mugridge from Zoomer Magazine and David Kravitz from Zoomer Media. Okay, so the parties aren't really getting it. in terms of our demographic. What about the whole issue of Quebec? I'm finding this fascinating. The premier of Quebec told the federal parties to butt out when it comes to Bill 20, which prohibits any kind of religious headgear for a public servant. And so far, everybody seems to have complied. Jagmeet Singh did this great commercial in French where he's wrapping his turban, but he's trying not to make waves. He has the most to lose in Quebec, and I have no doubt that he will lose
big time.
Big time in Quebec. We saw the resurgence of the Bloc. I bet that's where a lot of those votes will go. We have Justin Trudeau, the guy who's doing politics differently, saying, not useful to bring this up in Quebec right now. 70% of Quebecers are happy with Bill 20. And do we have in the Zoomer vote, were there people from Quebec voting in this in a decent number?
I think so. But don't forget, it's an English language poll. So, it's going to be depressed a little bit that way. But I think that the calculation of all the parties is, what do I have to gain everywhere else? So if I'm Andrew Scheer, I'm Trudeau, and I come out with a big charter speech about you can't do this and we're going to override this and it's trampling on religious freedom, blah, blah, blah. You know, whatever they want to say, they've got to figure out what's it going to cost me in Quebec, but also what's it going to give me everywhere else? I don't think they think that's going to give them anything.
And the legislation, whatever you say about it, it's very popular in Quebec. It has huge support.
70%.
Yeah, 70%. So, you're just sort of, you're hanging yourself out to dry there by attacking it, you know.
Well, right. So everybody here is dealing with rail politics. There's no issue of principle on this among any of the party leaders. Okay, I'm glad we're clear on that. Let's take a call from Pat in Toronto. Hi, Pat.
Good morning. My comment is, I am so upset with all of the giveaway promises that all of the parties are suggesting, that money just seems to be falling from the sky, and, oh, we can afford this, we can afford that. And, oh, the wealthy are going to pay. Well, there aren't enough wealthy to make it happen.
Okay. Are you referring to anybody's particular goodies in particular?
Well, I mean, I saw Trudeau's one. I mean, I got a flyer for the Conservatives through the door. And I've just been reading the Green Party. And, I agree with a lot of the things of the Green Party. But again, nobody wants to be honest with regard to finance.
Right.
And that is the most concerning part as far as I'm concerned.
Well, yeah. And I mean, what sort of slays me is, all these new promises by Elizabeth May. And she said that they were going to be checked by the Parliamentary Budget Office. I don't think so.
and she was going to balance the budget in 5 years.
Yeah. Nobody else can do that with cuts.
My question is, why can't one of the parties simply be honest and educate the public with regard to the fact that there is no free lunch? That to pay for things, you've got to either cut other services or increase taxes.
The reason, Pat, is that you don't win elections like that.
I realize
that. It's not that we have to school you here, but that's the reason, isn't it?
Exactly.
Okay, Pat, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's take a call from Sam in Toronto. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Olivia. Good morning to you.
Good afternoon.
Actually, good afternoon to you. Well, Just to mention, when we talk in the generalized whole generation, like millennials or Generation Z or Zoomers or Boomers, to me, I think it's much more complicated than that. It's got more to do with your background, your class, class differences, your probably gender, all sort of things. Karl Marx was a Zoomer. George Darwin was a Zoomer.
At the end of his life, he was a Zoomer, before he was a millennial.
So in a lot of ways, you can't just corner people. Sometimes I say, Christian-based or Muslim-based or Jewish-based or this. It doesn't even make sense because a lot, it's more individuality per case. I know it's hard
Okay, Sam, so let me ask you, Sam, okay, you're saying it is, and it is, because people don't have, I mean, with the ethnic thing, it used to be hard and fast, you voted with your ethnicity, not so much anymore, but some people still do. So what is important to you? What are you looking for, Sam?
Well, you know, it, because you see, at, you should say what is important to you at this junction of your life, probably. Probably like 10 years ago, 20 years ago, when I had business, I mean, you know, few condos and before the third of events, you know, before I turned southward, I could say I was a conservative because you know what? I didn't want to pay that much tax. But you know, life changes, your choices change, and then you become more to the, you know, to the left or more to the right, depending on your own personal.
So what are you becoming more to of?
Well, I'm more of, see, my worldview is, it's a little bit complicated, but I'm like, I'm a spiritual, first of all, but like, you know, as in politics, I would say I'm socialist in, how do you say, like, you know, the age gap between the haves and have-nots, and in many ways, you know, basic healthcare, basic, you know, universal income and things like that. You know, I think it's good for society to invest long term on you know, on a class of groups that don't have it. It will pay off in the future. But when it comes to many other issues, like, you know, when it's like social issues and other stuff, I may tend to be a little bit more traditional, you know. And you know,
okay, Sam,
stuff like that, you know.
Okay, well, thanks for your call. I just point out one thing, Sam, before I let you go. You did say that your interest changed as you got older, so that's something that would play into a demographic vote. But thank you very much for your call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Exactly. So
his interest and his experience, because he's seen how many elections, how many promises, things that worked, things that didn't work, or that he could perceive have worked and didn't work. So he's right. You do change as you move along. But remember, there's going to be millions of Zoomers who are going to vote for Trudeau, and there's going to be millions that are going to vote for Scheer and the other kids. So it isn't all one thing. Mm-hmm. That said, I think your earlier comments correctly, but I don't think they really get the demographic as well as they
could,
they do, or as well as they could,
or as well as they should.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you want to fish where the fish are. You
know? Well, exactly. What about the whole issue of personality? I mean, when you look at the leader and saying, "Is this person a prime minister?" Mm. A lot of people are very disillusioned with Justin Trudeau, but he is recovering and he definitely has, I would even call it like that charm, and he's a celebrity.
Yeah.
And he's a global celebrity.
Yeah.
You can't really take that away from him. And Andrew Scheer.
He's a master campaigner too. Like he just sinks right into it when he's out there, you know.
And Andrew Scheer, a lot of people are looking to him and saying, maybe he's a bit of a nebbish. Sorry to use
fair
that
comment,
word.
Fair comment.
Well, that's what a lot of people are saying. And he, you know, he defends himself. He says, you know what, I will stand up against Trudeau's flash anytime. Mm. And he makes the joke about having the dad body and all of that. And he's still ducking questions about his own beliefs, which we believe to be socially conservative. A lot of people don't believe him when he says that he's not going to reopen the abortion debate. His kids are homeschooled, I believe. That's what about all that?
Well, I think that I don't think Stephen Harper was Canada's answer to JFK necessarily. So I think you've got, you know, people with different persona. And it's an axiom, especially in Canada, governments are not elected, they're defeated.
Yeah. Right.
So you're going to vote for Scheer, I think, not because he has some bold new persona that you've never seen before and you're totally captivated by it. You're going to vote because you really don't like what Trudeau's up to. Mm. I think that the Liberals have tried the social conservatism ploy before. They did it against Harper with those commercials about troops in the streets and all. Mm. And I think abortion is a loser for everybody because I think the average Canadian believes that as long as he doesn't want to legislate on some of these topics. He's entitled to his sincerely held religious beliefs or faith-based beliefs. Leave him alone if that's what he believes. And he's certainly standing up and admitting it. That's a little, you know, he's not pandering.
No, he's not actually admitting it, but he's saying he won't change it, but on the issue of his personal stuff, he's kind of weaseling a bit.
Well, but they've got statements from the past. They're digging into Facebook, doing the usual thing. Yeah. He's saying, look, I'm not going to pass any laws. And I think I can't see a big groundswell against Andrew Scheer. Based on fear of abortion legislation.
I hear that a lot. It's a lot on social media. And I don't understand why anybody would disbelieve him just because the issue is such a big loser.
Right. It's a loser for everybody.
Loser for everybody. And the public doesn't really, there's not a big groundswell for it, only among very, very major social conservatives. And they don't have anywhere to go but Andrew Scheer.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, your take, do you think the personality is a big issue?
Well, you know, Bill Davis ran in Ontario for years, and although in private he was a very funny, interesting man, he ran as a bland politician for years and years and years, and it worked. Harper did the same
thing. Different time. You didn't have social media. Didn't have the kind of celebrity frenzy around the world that we have now. Right. Very different time.
But there is an authenticity about Scheer that he's not trying to be flashy. Like, he's not taking media lessons, obviously, and he's not, you know, he's just he's just a dad from Saskatchewan or, you know, wherever he's, you know, so
like, he's from Ottawa, but he's never had a job outside of politics.
He was an insurance man in Saskatchewan before he got into politics.
For how long?
Well, for a couple of years. But he's there is an authenticity that he's aiming for. He's not, and there's a flashiness that Trudeau has that he couldn't possibly emulate. Yeah. So why try?
Yeah. Okay. Aha. We have a voter who's changed your mind. Vicky in Newmarket. Hi, Vicky.
Hello.
Go ahead. You're on the air. We want to hear.
I've always voted conservative. I'm not a millennial. I'm not a zoomer. I'm that in between that everybody ignores.
What are you, Generation Z?
Gen X or Gen Z?
So this year I'm voting for the Green Party because Andrew Scheer, he backed the dairy farmers. If you can think that dairy farming is good for anybody, it's not good for the environment, it's not good for the animals, it's not good for us, certainly not good for the healthcare system, then you can believe anything. Do you believe there's Jesus and the tooth fairy too? Like, okay. There's no clear leader here.
Okay,
but I'm going to vote for Elizabeth May because she's the only one who seems to be any kind of, you know, to be consistent.
Uh-huh, but we were just talking, she just unveiled a platform today that has, you know, a huge amount of goodies in it, and she says she's going to balance the budget while she's doing it, and frankly, we think that's a load of hooey. There's no way that she could deliver all these billions and billions of dollars worth of programs and balance the budget in 5 years.
There's no clear leader, and every politician is a liar, but the next thing to do is destroy my ballot. There's no options here.
Okay, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. Choice. Better to vote than to destroy your ballot.
Absolutely.
But at least you're going to show up.
Yep.
Thank you very much, Vicky.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, well, there you go.
She's got her, she's got her issue, but she's looking for the least terrible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a very significant chunk of the vote. You have to vote based on who's running. Who are my choices? Mm-hmm. I wish so-and-so had been running, but he's not or she's not.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, not to, we're going to see an election down south a year from now. Believe me, tens of millions of people are going to be voting based on what our caller just said. I don't like anybody. Who do I like? Who's my least bad alternative?
Oh, and then there's another thing because I'm not entirely sure what I'm going to do. I wanted to make a certain vote that's a little different than I've done, but then I don't really like the candidate in my riding.
From that party.
Right. So what the heck am I going to do? Right, I'm not really sure what I'm going to do.
Right.
And if you want wacky and crazy elections tomorrow, there's an election in Israel. Oh, oh my God.
And whose winner will be decided in a month when they see if he can make another coalition.
They just had an election in April. I mean, the politics there are crazy. And I've lived there and covered elections there, which are fascinating. But whenever people call in talking about how wonderful proportional representation is, it's like, wait a minute. No, wait.
See it in action.
See it in action, though I'm sure there are some forms of it that are better than what they have there. Okay, so guys, what are we looking for going into the next week of the Zoomer primary?
Well, you can vote at zoomervote.ca. We're at 6,500 now. I'd love to have it up to 8,000 by the next
time we speak. Yeah. No, I think it's – oh, yes, you're right.
And, you know, there are a lot of people out there who probably don't know how to get on the internet. Just ask your kids or your grandkids to help you on. And it's zoomervote.ca, and we'd love to hear from you. And it's been very – successful so far, and we'd like to see it continue.
And you know what? It also thinks, you know, if you have some issues like what we're about to tackle in the next segment that you want to come to the fore, I think that maybe when the politicians see something like the Zoomer vote and they see, aha, it is different than all the aggregated polls, they might sit up and take notice, you know what? Yeah. These are the people that vote. Let's listen up.
I'd be worried if I was the conservatives because they haven't budged in our poll, and they have to budge if they're going to win.
Yeah.
So somebody should be calling us nervously saying, what's going on in your world?
No, so we'll far see. They don't have time for us. No. So
they will. They'll make it.
They'll make time for us? Well, we'll see. They'll make time for us, or they won't do that well.
He knows where all the appliances plug into the kitchen and storing away.
Yeah.
And he'll be back there again. So.
Yeah,
Andrew Scheer, the opposition.
Well, president. At this point, Stornoway is better than 24 Sussex.
I guess so.
As a house. So there you go. Maybe they want to be back there again.
Secret death wish.
Okay. Thank you very much, Peter Mugridge, senior editor of Zoomer Magazine, David Kravitz, VP at Zoomer Media. We will be back with another look at the Zoomer vote. Next week, next Monday, same time, same place on the dial, and really looking forward to it. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Libby.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.